You're tuned to 89.1, 103.5 FM. I'm Laura Kennedy with this GLT Datebook. You can add a demon or two to your Halloween celebration with a new book from Central Illinois author Sylvia Schultz, who specializes in tales of the supernatural. Hunting Demons depicts the struggles of a paranormal investigator named Linda, who claims to be hounded by demons. Schultz, who describes herself as an open-minded skeptic, recounts Linda's woes in her book. But Schultz says the book also delves into the long history of demon lore.
I really had fun tracing the belief in demons through the medieval period and into the Age of Reason. Demons are entities that have never been human. They are minions of Satan. You can explain them that way. They're evil creatures. They exist just to make humans' lives miserable. Our conceptions of demons changed quite a lot during those centuries.
So how have they changed?
In the medieval period, there were demons everywhere. There were sprites everywhere, and fairies, and goblins, and you had to step very carefully in the medieval period because they were all over the place.
Sylvia, do you have a favorite demon story from history that you turned up in your research?
Oh boy, do I ever. Ha! Okay, so we always think of the Catholic Church as kind of cornering the market on exorcisms. John Paul II actually performed an exorcism out in public. He was having an audience, he was attending an audience, and somebody came up to him having problems, and John Paul II just kind of did this exorcism out in front of God and everybody, and the person was not cured. I mean, the exorcism wasn't permanent, but the person did get some relief. So we kind of think of the Catholic Church as having a lock on this. But even with all the popes throughout history, there was one pope that just absolutely outdid them all when it came to exorcisms. There was a pope named Honorius III, and he lived from 1150 to 1227. And this guy just put all the other popes to shame. He actually wrote his own grimoire. He wrote his own manual for summoning demons. He figured, this is his reasoning, that if his priests knew how to summon demons at will and then cast them back into hell, they would be better able to deal with demons when they came across them in their ministry.
So it was like how to put a demon on a leash?
Yeah.
Sylvia, is there a difference between our attitude regarding demons in Western culture versus Eastern culture?
Oh, absolutely. That's what I meant by doing this research and finding out that demons are worldwide, but the way we perceive them is much different than the way an Eastern culture perceives them. In Western culture, we tend to think of demons as completely evil. They're just out to get humanity. We feel that in the Western culture, we have the danger of opening ourselves up to the demonic by playing with Ouija boards, dabbling in the occult, things like that. It's something that we have to actively go out and seek. And in Eastern culture, it's almost exactly the opposite. In Eastern culture, demons are pretty much everywhere, almost like the medieval period in the Western culture.
But still today?
Culture,
even
oh, yes.
Today? Okay.
Oh, absolutely, yes. In Middle Eastern culture, it's really quite fascinating. They have demons called the jinn. Jinn are very like humans. They are descended from Iblis, which is the Islamic version of Satan. Jinn are beings made of smokeless fire. And Iblis, again, ran into trouble with God because of their differing attitudes towards Adam. God created Adam. God created Iblis first and the jinn of smokeless fire. And then he created Adam out of the dust. And he said, now you guys have to worship Adam. You guys have to pay respect to him. And Iblis said, oh, no, we're made of fire. We are made of fire. We are not going to pay attention to this being that's made of dust. That's ridiculous. So Iblis is actually considered kind of a hero because he would not lower himself even to respect God's wishes. He stood up for himself. Getting back to jinn in daily life, there is a specific type of jinn called the czar. And the Tsar seems to attack mostly women, especially in northern Africa and in Egypt. These are Muslim cultures in which women are second-class citizens. But Islamic women, Muslim women, have the Tsar. The Tsar attacks women, and it inhabits them, and it can only be appeased by gifts of perfume and fine foods and rich clothing and jewelry. It's a very carefully directed way for Muslim women to gain some measure of power in their relationship, because they can go to their husbands, and this is a perfectly acceptable thing. They can go to their husbands and say, you know what, my demon's kicking up. I need a party. I need a party with dancing and drumming and rich food and fine food and everybody.
And don't forget the Chanel No. 5.
Exactly. And this is a perfectly acceptable way to ask for these things. It's not an exorcism. This is how you appease the Tsar. It's not an exorcism. It is a reconciliation between the human and their demon.
That's writer Sylvia Schultz. Her new book, Hunting Demons, is available on Whitechapel Press. I'm Laura Kennedy.